It's another podcast. Oh man, I got something frozen. Okay, so what do we want to talk about now? Big day. Breakfast, my sister, breakfast. Listen to this lady, Michelle. If you think that New York City construction, you see buildings going up, skyscrapers, people renovating. How many people walk under these buildings and construction? Let me give you a little word of advice. When you see a crane and you got the lady, all over the world. Excuse me. So when you walk past the job site, try to go on the other side. Falls off. They tying things up, they're hoisting things up. So we got an issue with the city that is not being followed. And the title of this podcast is Safe Construction Working Fatalities. So you got all these safeties, all these regulations. Wow. Maybe I can.
It's another podcast with Porcupine and Facts Experience. Welcome.
And I'll tell you the truth. So, I'm in the safety. There's too many people getting it. I cannot even say insurance. General liability insurance is very popular. California and New York is the only cities that require this. Not insurance. And I guess it may work. Because nobody wants to get sued. But in New York City, construction, whether you come from Venezuela, Mauritania,
Ukraine,
Russia,
and
you name it.
Experience.
The way you work in Europe, China especially, they doing a lot of those. We're cracking down in New York City. They are cracking down, and we're not going to allow people to consistently getting killed. So there has to be something done. I changed the sound to bring it down. There's got to be something done about it. We don't want anybody getting killed. So guess what happened? Safety training school busted. Indictment. Invalid OSHA cards. Bogus training. Not even training. You pay, you leave, you get an OSHA card. Or the VA stopped that. So now there's a new thing that I came across and I was fascinated because this job that I'm looking at and others can get on, they are not playing with the safety. Have you ever seen a medic on a construction job? Well, I did. Normally, everybody's in yellow. We have some guests in the studio, so you may hear some noise. He's in red. He comes with a background of a medic. He worked with the FDNY Fire Department. They got hired. There's a new company. It's been around a minute. More and more, they're trying to reduce the fatalities and death. Now, what he does, if you're feeling woozy, you can go say, hey, man, I ain't really feeling that well. Or if you came in this morning and you had a headache, you can go to him and say, hey, listen, I got a headache. You know, you know, we have first aid kits. And I'm kind of happy as an owner of a business, man. I don't want to be this medicine first aid. It's basic first aid, but you may give somebody aspirin, they may have a nervous reaction or something could go wrong, and that's why they have him on the job. But let's just continue to talk about New York City, where the construction is just exploding and people are coming from all over the world. They're driving the course down and not properly being trained. Too many deaths, Guys are falling. The number one is fall. Caught by between. Let's go shot. Kill you. You know, confined spaces where the air quality's not right. You want to play this game in New York City with construction? You better be trained. And the CEOs, they are starting to go to jail because PPE matters. You have to supply these things to the workforce. You can't retaliate if somebody says you're running an unsafe project and didn't fire them. You can't do that. So many nuances. But 21 safety cards are currently invalid. They need to retake them. And the Department of Building is clamping down. Too many deaths, too many injuries. And it's only going to be better for everyone if we can get a grip on all of this. So here, for the first time,
it's another podcast,
a conversation
and facts experience
with a medic. He's a safety medic. And I got to be honest with you. If anything you don't pay attention to this on behalf of the facts and the Porcupine Project, there is no host break, no sweep. Meet the job site today. Oh, it's another podcast of the Porcupine and Facts Experience. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is construction. We spoke about safety ergonomics before, soft tissue injuries. I just discovered that if you see somebody with a red vest on a construction job, he is what?
The site medic, site safety.
Site safety
medic.
Is there a difference between a safety coordinator?
Well, more so as a safety medic, you're basically occupational health for any injuries that anyone may sustain. Any medical conditions that anybody come into contact with. What we've discovered throughout the years, during the projects, depends on how the project is built and how it's structured. For 911 to be called and given 911 assistance, sometimes it's difficult because they don't understand the structures of it. Or even beforehand, seeing injuries that occur, things that might coincide with keeping our staff safe and things like that.
So is it like, I got this, would that be an injury?
If you initially had it and came reported, yeah.
Or you got a cut, would you be the person that will seal the cut?
Yes.
Because it's not something that you want to put on your OSHA 300. It's just a cut, right?
Yeah.
But do you still have to?
No, it depends on the severity of the injury. Where it's,
I think that one.
There's recordables and there's non-recordables that fall in line within the OSHA guidelines of recordables. There's certain incidents that go into play where with reporting it is simpler, and we can do follow-up care. We could set you up with MedRite, clinical setups, and do follow-up care and things like that. And all the care you may need under our insurance umbrellas and everything you may need follow-up care. Certain things aren't necessary. They're non-recordables. You have guys that splinters, minimal things like that we could deal with. And then you have...
Like you get the tweeze and you just take it out.
Yeah.
And technically on the insurance end, that's nothing.
Yeah.
But...
It's gradiences. There's a situation that does occur, like, for example,
gradiences and reporting.
Injuries and reporting. There was an incident last year that I had where a gentleman was picking up a piece of metal to transition into to pick up, and it tore his
shoulder.
It tore his
floater cuff. Okay.
His bicep.
Really?
That tore. So it popped, and the care was more extensive. He wasn't fit for duty at least a year. He was going to be out at least.
Right, because that's a soft tissue injury.
Yeah.
So that was a reportable.
Yes, definitely reportable.
Give me a non-reportable.
Things like
that. And when we talk about reportable, that means documenting the occurrence, and it would appear on your OSHA 300 log.
Yeah, okay. And to the extent where DOB would have to be notified of the incident, just giving them a heads up of what we're dealing with. A non-recordable is more in the line of headaches. You have medical issues also. So we had a situation where last week a gentleman wasn't feeling well, and we could do a medical physical evaluation on a blood pressure.
On the job? Right?
Yeah.
Glucose, so you took his vitals?
Glucose readings to see where you're at. Because you have some incidents where... To give an example, I had an incident a few years back where it was an engineer who wasn't feeling too great, evaluated him, and based on the evaluation, he we transported, I personally transported him to the ER and did some follow-up, and he actually had a heart condition.
That he didn't even know about.
Yeah, his cardiologist had to put him on a heart medication to prevent it from incidents like that occurring again.
Was he allowed to return back to work?
Yeah.
Okay.
Prescriptions and things
so
like
we don't
that.
Want people to get nervous that if you
yeah it's to, it's totally you know
curable
accessible and things that we could notice. Then you have some people who might present with uncomfortableness, and it's underlying things like hypertension, and that could lead to something even more dangerous if we don't address it or even identify it.
Well, how would you know if somebody didn't come and tell you, or would it be something that you would walk the job and say, "Hey, how you guys feeling today? How was your weekend?" You know,
it goes into play with both. You one of your goals here is to build a rapport where people can communicate with
they
you.
Can talk.
For the most part, this project we kind of interchange contractors here and there, but I do the orientation, so I get to see everyone as they come in, set them up, and let them know what's going on. So they
and let them know that you're available for their care,
and we have stickers, particularly for my site phone number. So a lot of it has to do with both. It works hand in hand. If you're feeling comfortable to come speak to me. And at the same time, if, you know, we always tell other people too that the number that I have to contact me is not only for you, the individual, it's also for your coworkers, because you can see certain circumstances where, you know, I could be working
with a guy.
Yeah, and you just notice something's off.
He ain't the same like he was. We used to be banging his spoon.
Yeah.
What's going on? Is there something going on in the house?
Exactly.
So this is the kind of orientation you do where people get to know them, are you fully healthy?
Exactly. And more so that we know that everybody's working with each other on a constant basis. So you'll notice like similar changes, like, hey, today I noticed that, you know, we're on a cool floor, but you're sweating, you know, excessively.
Wow.
That could be issues with CHR.
Telltale signs that will give you the
information. And what it allows us to do, I have 20 years experience in the field.
I was going to ask you that.
Working 911, FDNY.
Really?
Some of the things. Yeah, so I've responded to a lot of calls that have been outside, on the outside looking in, coming into these situations. I've had a project responding to a 911 call, MTA, and it was literally just based off of the coworker noticing something off.
Of his coworker, yeah.
Yeah, so that was an issue, which I always remember to this day, because what ended up happening, the guy died maybe an hour and a half later.
But did you get him to the...
We got him to the hospital.
What was the cause of death?
His cause of death was what they call a triple A.
Is that dealing with the heart?
No, it's a burst in your abdomen.
Mm-hmm.
In your aorta, abdominal aortic. So what it is that basically you have, how to describe it best, you have a laceration in one of your major arteries. And it's pulling blood, and there's really no way to save you that.
And that was something that could have been detected if you went to the doctor.
Well, it was detected. No, it's those situations are pretty tough, because, you know, even walking him into the ER, one of the head physicians, she was actually saying that the only thing I could save him at that time would be to helipack him to operation. Like, he'd have to be opened up immediately. And that was
that time didn't work out.
Yeah.
So you have a red vest and a red hat. Now, far as how did you get to this position? Do you, like, I'm going to a safety class at 3:30. Mm-hmm. This did come up in the class, that's why I'm asking you. But I don't think, and I'm going to ask you, I'm going to say to these guys today, what is a guy on a construction job that wears a red hard hat and a red vest? I want to see the instructor, though, you know, because I've been helping the instructor as we talk. So what is...
At times, some of us at times wear different colors, but yeah, for the most part.
Yeah, you. Now, I see these things over there. What do you call them?
Stethoscopes.
So are you a medic by trade?
Yeah.
And then you have the OSHA part?
Yeah, I kind of connected it to be here. It was introduced to me years ago.
That's a great niche, right?
Yeah, it's actually fairly new. Progression of safety concerns,
okay.
DOB.
Because I'm very into safety, as you can see.
It's fairly new.
All of my cards over the years.
It's fairly new, but...
I think it's a great idea to have somebody on the job.
Yeah.
Because if you get a headache, and you know another thing I bet you probably do, when I come on the job, when I start, I'm going to bring all my first aid kits.
Yeah, we have a whole setup.
No, like I have my own stuff.
My own people, you know, my respiratory.
Yeah. It would be a great class to teach people on the first aid kit, how to replenish it.
Yeah.
I have four of them in the house.
Yeah.
You know, so did you have to take a class to be in this position? Because you came from FDNY, you already worked on it, so what's you had to be certified or something?
With this, it's a little bit different, because what it does is that initially by trade, I've been in emergency medicine for 20 years, like I said.
Wow.
So the transition became being certified and different things when it comes to construction safety. Scaffolding.
So you needed to know more about that. You were
in
the OSHA.
Even the OSHA.
You took the OSHA 30 SST. So you
So
you came with your medical experience.
And then added,
and then you added
all the experience that's required
to knowing what OSHA requires. So you collaborated all that together.
And then a few certifications and a few things that not necessarily is applicable to the emergency side of things.
Mm-hmm.
Emergency medicine, like I'm trained and I work projects where they prefer to have alcohol and drug testing, so I had to get certified.
Yeah, they're doing that at the gates and everything
like
that. I heard some jobs require that.
Yeah, I worked at the Javits for a while, and everybody that came in pre-orientation with drug testing and alcohol screening.
And what happened when you screened them and you found something? You know, like,
well, it was all because
it's a marijuana
law. We have tests.
Don't test me, man.
We have tests. It's just a whole procedure.
I heard about that. They mentioned that in the class. I took the class. Today's Wednesday. Monday, we mentioned that.
Yeah.
So with respect to that, if you were in a state where marijuana is legal, how does that work?
Well, that's a good question.
Because one of the guys said, you know what I'm saying?
That's a good question. One of the companies I was with a few years back, their logic and way of seeing it is that no matter, even though within state protocols that marijuana has been legalized, it hasn't been legalized federally.
It has not been legalized
federally.
So it's still
from what I know.
And OSHA is a federal
guideline. And on top of that, too, I think even in those bases, it's just such a gray area, because one of the main things that alcohol is legal, but we can't have someone that's
drunk. Well, everybody drinks it. Yo,
it's a danger.
This is real talk, guys. Somebody's working next door to my name, look to where I live. These are Spanish brothers doing flooring. So I came home yesterday and I saw some guys in front of my where I live. And the tree bed, you know, we got a little flower pot and the beer is in there. They all drink. These guys be buying. They're cool. They're good. Everybody thinks, you know, Americans don't want to work. These brothers can knock down some Coronas. I got photographs when we did this building here. They went to that restaurant right there around the corner, Dominican. They had like three 6-packs.
Well, my goal isn't trying to have that, trying to beat it.
You can't smell them, man. I told you.
I did not have that happen.
I like the smell on your face because you did know.
No, I know. I really try to prevent it. Not because.
And the brothers smoke the weed, man. They go, the job is here. I had to make, on this job, nobody might ask, because I'm really funny. That's my friend.
Yeah.
And I would tell him if I see some shit, even if it was you, I'd say, yo, listen, you need to go walk down the block and check this out. Forewarning. They would go around the corner and smoke. And nobody, I said to one of my guys, I said, let me tell you something, Danny, I'm not fucking around with you. If I catch a beer in your hand, your ass is out. You don't even put a mint. Then you know what they tell me? Well, you're not my father.
I think a lot of times when people, what they fail to realize at times is that the danger just poses in these type of circumstances. Like, it might seem, you know, some people might take it like, hey, I drink and I can do this, I can do that.
As long as I'm not doing it at work.
Yeah, but just those two seconds of what alcohol causes misjudgment. It could be something like, hey, I'm always on the scaffold.
Or slurry conversation that I can't talk to them.
Or I'm always on the scaffolding painting. We got AM glass working in the front of the project. It could just be that 2 seconds, like, hey, I'm always on the scaffolding working, and it's regular, it's a day-to-day, I have a couple beers, no big deal. And then just be that one day where you don't tie off. You have incidents where guys...
He showed us where this guy had the safety harness on. He fucking fell. He died.
They
showed us the film on Monday.
There was a guy that fell in the elevator shaft 2 years ago in a project that I was on. And he was sober. You know, even when you're sober of... Full capacity, you do what you have to do, accidents happen. So imagine if you add drinking to it, it just multiplies the possibilities of incidents occurring. And it's really just poses a danger that you don't need. I mean, wait till you get home, you know, do whatever you have to do at home, but don't bring it.
And then get a good night.
nicely. And then some of them, one guy drunk so much of shit was coming out of his pores, man.
Yeah.
You know, that's over excessive.
Those aren't worth it. I'm not trying to be a prude. And like, hey, you can't drink. It's not my personal business if you're an adult. But just wait till you get home. Leave that at home, because it poses a danger to the project. And in a bigger scheme of things, it could pose a danger to people's livelihoods. If we have a circumstances here where, yeah, we're doing our walks, we're doing our checks on these guys, but you could have an incident where you sustain an injury, now the project has to be shut down. And you have people that were dependent on...
And come and fit to work, and then you made this...
And now you've cost everybody their well-being, being that you want to drink. It's just not worth it. It just doesn't add up. And in general, I'm not going to be such a prude, but alcohol is just empty calories.
It's empty calories?
Yeah, it's empty calories.
What do you mean by that? I don't know.
Like, it just, when you...
Because I don't like to drink. You know, yeah. I drink a beer one time or two.
You know, you're a perfect example. Like, it's empty calories in the sense that you're just going to get fat. It has no benefit to you. I'm not going to push that narrative to everybody.
You heard that, fellas? Empty calories. That's why you got big bellies.
Exactly.
That's what that does.
It's what it is, that you're intaking calories. You're just intaking calories, and it has no... It affects your sleep. It affects your day-to-day health. It's not worth it.
All right. Well, listen. I was an electrician in the union, and I went out for coffee. And I would get the coffee orders. Some guys like coffee, and some guys like beer. So when I was an apprentice on the Queensboro Bridge, I got sick and tired. I told one guy, I don't have to fucking bring you back beer. When my dad and them was coming up, we're talking about, let's go back 25 years when all this was, you know,
have a drink,
you know. So when I went for coffee,
the
guy told me, because I might have been maybe 20, whatever, hey, don't forget my little, get yourself something, but don't forget my beer, you know. I did it one time, and I said, you know what, I'm not fucking getting you this, you know. And when the foreman found out, he said, you don't go for coffee, but I said, thank God, I can learn something. So that whole mindfulness of construction and things like that made it where it was, you know, like those guys have either moved on, retired off, or died off, and then you have a new cycle of workers. How do you find where so many different people speak different languages on the job? Are you able, are you a multi-language type of medic?
Somewhat. I speak other languages, but not extreme, but I can communicate.
You can communicate.
And I feel like the field has improved based on transparency.
You're the first person I've ever seen on a construction job with a red vest and a hat, a medic. I've never seen a medic on a job.
Yeah, it's a growing thing. And I think a lot of times what's been happening on projects is that, from what I've heard, not 100% accurate on the numbers, but it helps with insurance purposes.
Definitely. Even with me. Listen, I'm not on right now because they're approving my insurance. But what I wanted, I'll go back to the safety, the first aid kit, because I have painters, you know, we get little nicks, and it would be a good, as a medic, because you're really doing medical care, and as a owner, I would like to know if I do have the proper first aid kit, and if I do need to give guy an aspirin, you take my role of liability away because you're trained, you're a medic. I don't want to give anybody anything like an aspirin or something.
Yeah.
So I usually tell them, no, the first aid kit is over there, go help yourself. Is there anything that you think that could be something present, a new president on how a safety, a first aid kit is done, you know, because this is big time. This job's like, these are
big time. Well, that's a possibility, but I think one of the...
Because I don't know what to give a guy, or if it's a burn, or if it's a cut, you know.
I like the perspective that
you... Maybe you can create that.
No, we have a structure here, but for me, for the most part...
Not here, but I'm just saying in general.
No, I try to make it to be part of it, too. Part of medical care is a service. So I tend to focus on the fact that whatever you need, I'll be there to take care of it for you.
But not every job has a guy like
you. Yeah, so if I would recommend that in projects that doesn't have a medic to do what you presented. But for the most part, being that I'm here, whatever necessity you need, I'll fit
where
you don't have to worry yourself too much. Right. Because then what ends up happening is that we can set up, like what I have, my medical gear and all the things that I have on site and a few things here and there. Mm-hmm. But mainly... guys
guys don't have to worry about it. I think it will cause a little bit too much confusion. Because basically you have to isolate it to one person being in charge of that.
Exactly.
So I'm that person.
That's fair. Because that helps me. And with that being said, whether it be a headache, ache and pain,
yeah,
you should come if you feel something, like you twisted something.
And I welcome people to come even if it's not on the job, because the medical expertise could guide you the right way. Like I said, we've come into people, like we've had certain injuries that, well, not necessarily injuries, but certain people having certain difficulties and just diagnosing it from there. I've worked with different companies. I work with a national company that more had their protocol was, not protocol, but their setup was a bit different, where we had on-call medical. See, I'm a medic, but there's a higher medical authority, a doctor,
really?
That you could literally meet. And we can have discussions.
Through my
setup. And, you know, there are things that you come across that it's not based on something that happened on site. Mm-hmm. It's not based on maybe an incident.
Generic or something.
Yeah.
And the MSD sheets, do they help you as the medic? You know, where the products that we're using, like the paint that I'm going to be using, I have to submit product data sheets to. Because my nephew was allergic. He had allergies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We were power washing a metal ceiling with very little acid. The acid got through somehow, even the smell. He broke out in all this red rash. He's a fair-skinned kid. We take him to the hospital. I brought him an MSD sheet. The doctor read the MSD sheet and asked him one question. Do you have allergies? He said, yeah. He said, that's our problem.
Yeah,
he's
great.
Not fit to work this job. He can work it, but acid, none of that. So the MSD sheets, so you have the no-nos, that material that's being used?
We haven't implemented that in this project, but I've actually worked in other capacities
as
pure safety. With this project, it's one of our smallest projects I've ever had to
really?
Do. And what it is usually, we don't necessarily have a safety manager, but he's not particularly on-site. This particular
he's
more everywhere.
He's like an octopus.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you guys refer everything back to him.
But usually on a site where we have a set site safety manager, that one of the biggest things I feel between medics and safety is that we work side by side and hand in hand and keep us abreast of everything that's going on that we may find or the other may find. And I think that works beautifully. And in terms of those studies, I'm familiar with them. I've worked in the field of pure safety.
Yes.
So
what is pure safety? I'm
like a safety management.
Yeah, I heard that.
Certification,
yeah,
things
yeah.
like that. I was actually contemplating taking a course in pure safety management to boost what I do here and to make it more broader. But it's a great thing to work hand in hand with your safety personnel because they are aware of things as it moves. Like projects are forever moving. And that's part of the key part.
And
of
as the process grows, the risk of the injury and
dies down. Different risk becomes like these guys are now working in closer spaces,
confined spaces.
Yeah,
well.
So it becomes so you just have to be aware.
So your basic thing would be the air quality.
Yeah.
You know,
or
what is the basic thing you do for somebody in the position when you come first time on the job?
We're assessing possible safety issues that may be present. Trying to make things like trying to follow, take the scope of whatever OSHA guidelines are and whatever people are practicing. Like welding that was going on the roof. We want to make sure guys are using their eye protection. We want to make sure that we have welding sheets in different places throughout the job. And just to avoid contact with things that may occur.
Or water close by, you have to have water.
Electrical issues, those things. And just taking into account every safety concern. We have a ladder's last policy with you, man. Just making sure that everybody's following the guidelines that's been already established.
This is cool. I've never seen this. I swear to God.
It's fair.
You know what made me ask you that? I saw your red vest.
Do you want to play with them?
That's a good thing.
You got a red vest on.
It draws attention, which is a great thing. Because if I'm walking around and it draws attention, you might be like, yeah, I do feel this. This did bother me. Let me speak to the medic about it.
And this is free advice.
Yeah. We had guys that come in from time to time that just want to be evaluated if the pressure is up or they feel.
So you would do so. Okay, I came to you. I'm feeling dizzy.
We'll do a full workup. Well, blood pressure, pulse rate.
So you have the blood thing you put on here. You'll check the heartbeat,
lungs,
the airflow,
your pupils,
everything
that you'll do at a receptionist in a clinic.
And you would do that here?
Yeah.
And you were equipped to do that?
Yeah.
Is that the blood pressure machine? Right?
Yes.
I have one at home because I. That's incredible.
We have that all set up.
Wow.
So we have way more on site.
No, but this is just for immediate.
Yeah.
Wow, this is a good one. You put this is for the fingerprint.
Yeah, right? Pulse rate to see.
And what the hell is that? Is that this T?
Oh no, that's just
that's your T.
Yeah, milk.
So you have a stethoscope, and you have the blood pressure monitor.
Yeah,
you do the pupil eyes things,
pulse oxygen levels,
and you don't hold no, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen. If you were feeling a little woozy, would this? If somebody came to you and said, "Can you just give me a little?" They can come and ask you, right?
Yeah, if you feel like you have a headache, we have aspirin, ibuprofen, we have things for inflammation that you might have a pre-existing.
So this, by having somebody like you, takes a lot of the burden off the owner, like.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Because in my shanty, when I come, you know, hopefully everything works out. I'm here. You will see in my shanty the ocean poster. My first aid kit there. That's fine for you know.
Yeah.
Not to say not that I know there's a medic, but you know I would have the certain things. Now here's a big question. I can show it to you. We had OSHA gave us a poster where you put the emergency phone numbers.
Yeah.
911.
I actually made a phone.
I think I have that. But with a person like you on a job, do we, you know, you would
ideally,
you supersede what we're supposed to do as a
yeah. Ideally, you'd want to contact me first. Like I always say in certain projects, is that if you can have an injury that to someone who's not in the field, it looks crazy. Like oh my god, like this meeting 911 ASAP. But when I respond to the situation or the patient or the employee, it's not as bad as it looks.
Really.
And I could take care of it, and we could transport them to MedRite, and they're seeing.
What do you mean by MedRite? Was that a helicopter?
No, MedRite. MedRite is our go-to urgent care center.
Okay, so would that would be any hospital that's supposed
to
be?
No. We have a particular one.
You have a particular one?
Yeah.
Your company is
it? Yeah, MediScreen.
And then you have your own hospital?
No. What we do is that we vet particular clinic
that can provide you the multiple as many services you need.
So what we'll do in the event of an injury, we have actual documentation meant to coincide with the MedRite facility. The care that you receive, they'll communicate with us, and it will communicate with the Bay, and we'll do follow-ups on that person. What's their after they post injury? What else do they may need? If they need surgical or anything like that, and everyone is in.
And that's good to keep a track record of what's taking place, and that helps Gilbane know how to report this injury.
Where are we at in the
where
injury? How's the patient himself doing? Reports are constantly being sent. If you injured yourself on Monday and you went to the MedRite, I'll probably see you every 2 days. Where are we with things?
And then you were before that employee is. Able to come back to work, he would have to be.
Yeah, you'll submit the documentation and we'll see where you're at and agree to what the
medical. I got a good question. I was working with Chris and I know everybody around here, and my health insurance has lapsed. I stopped in the office. When that happens, does the employer or the employee have to have his own insurance?
No. When it comes to injuries on a job, most, you know, 90% of them, even I would say, all are covered. Under workers' comp.
Right. I have to carry it. Yeah.
So that what would happen is that you injured yourself on a job. That goes into play.
This is interesting.
We establish a workers' comp number, and that would in itself would cover you all care that you need from here on out.
Right.
And ideally the hopes is that
you were able to return back to work.
Yeah, and you're not injuring yourself. You're not injured to the point where you need, you know, our goal is to mitigate injuries.
Right.
So besides the fact that it's a benefit to staff, owners,
everybody.
It's also a benefit to the person being injured because you got guys, I've had incidents with guys, you know, arms cut and you know, just amputation of finger.
Cousin lost her pinky. She was working at a factory.
Yeah, you try to avoid those things for the betterment of the individual. Because whether it's construction site, whether it's whoever, you're still, you know, as a medic, you're still a patient first. So your care and your well-being.
I'm going to ask this question tonight in the class, but this is going to be something I'll do when I get home. I want to ask this question to the guy that's teaching this class, because I have never seen this.
Yeah, it's fair.
Your role outside of me, you're not the safety officer.
No.
So there's a different, you're the medic.
Yeah, safety medic. So it coincides with
this. This is big time.
Well, thank you.
Because you know what it is to me? When I was working, I had my, by federal OSHA standards as an armor, you know, I had my posters, I had all this, I had Department of Labor, wage things, I had a nice little thing. I had it up there, that was for this job. And I had the emergency contact, that's just in case if I wasn't around and somebody needed to call an ambulance. Like you said, the first thing people do is call for ambulance. You know, you could say that could be something that you can handle at work.
One of the key parts about it too is that when you call 911, and I've been on the other side, they charge you a lot of money. Yeah, that too, and your project has to be shut down to DOB.
Really? By law?
It's certain.
I thought it was a death or
it's certain,
a
catastrophic injury. It's always certain parameters.
The injury.
Yeah, like we've had injuries where it wasn't worth it. Reporting to DOB, but they reached out to us and said it should have been reported to them. Not saying that it wasn't recordable on our end, but we just didn't call DOB because the situation was under control. So not just the protocols in terms of rules and regulation. It's more about if you call 911, they're not familiar with the project. So and then if you have a situation where you have a guy on the third floor setting up ductwork, and he's like, calls 911. They don't know where they're going. They don't know the setup.
But take them to the nearest hospital.
No, but I mean to access. Compared to someone like me, who like, okay, third floor, stairway A.
I got you.
I'm there already.
Well said.
When they come in, they're my former coworkers. Hey guys, this is what we have. This is what we got going on. Here's the demographics. Here's the injury. Here's what we got.
So you're already.
And
I got him prepared.
Exactly.
If he needed to go.
If he needed to go.
They said, hey, by the way, we took care of it here.
Yeah.
It's fine. Because that's a little bit of money, you know.
Exactly. They prefer that. Like, okay, great. We don't need that stuff yet.
This is incredible. Is this a new thing happening?
It's been a few years now. I've been in this particular.
How many other companies doing this? But they're big.
They're growing.
It's got to be. Wait till I tell them. I mean, you know.
Especially based on contracts, but some of the major ones, I've actually worked for a national company. And they're pretty big. Care On Site, pretty big company. And they're nationally based. That's the only issue with the field is that.
You could be anywhere, right?
Yeah. So what it was is that I was a few years with them. And what ended up happening is that the project was over and they wanted me to try. I was in California for a little while.
But they paid for all your expenses.
Yeah, right.
But you live here.
I have a family, so it's not going to be possible.
Your wife said, okay.
She said, go
get the money, but then after a while.
I think it was more so me living out of a hotel. And I was in.
Missing those meals.
There was one time I was in Tennessee for a while. Never been to Tennessee before.
You didn't like it?
I was in a town that was just. There was two hotels. Three restaurants, and they all sold the same thing.
And you had to stay there for like 6 months.
Yeah, and then, to get to work.
I don't make a laugh.
To get to work.
I can see your face. That's why I'm laughing, because you're reminiscent on what it was.
Man. To get to work was like 40 miles.
What?
And it was so funny to me, because it would be 40 miles away, and GPS would be like, you get there in 50 minutes. I'm like, wow, that's driving fast. But, there was an Amish.
Really?
Store near my hotel, and it's just Tennessee.
It just seems like this medic thing can bring you a lot of world. I mean, bring you all over the place. And
yeah, I was in California, San Diego for a while,
and they flew you there.
Flew me there.
So the company you worked for, how long they been around? Like 10 years.
This company itself is actually a long-term major company.
Really?
It's fairly their subsidiaries under medical this branch of it. The company I work for is actually Abbott. You've heard of Abbott. I don't know. Once I mention it to you, you might start noticing.
You see it with ABE?
ABBOTT.
But is their color red, white? you know, like
might start seeing it a little.
Oh, I know we're gonna see this because if this bring it down, they help it with it. So would you encourage like general contractors, subcontractors to have a medic that would
it's from the
maybe we can all chip in for that.
From the ask, and then that's another thing too, it covers all Gil Bain sets the contract here, for example, but it covers everyone. AM Glass, it covers Lurko, it's covering
this
everyone.
This sounds like a new phenomenon. With
everyone, it's covering everyone working on the site. So
I've never seen a medic on a project.
I'm not. I'm almost sure that they're not asking anything of the contractors.
No. I didn't, because I didn't read anything about it.
Yeah.
But what intrigued me to ask you about this, because I'm going to this class, and on Monday they were showing falls. They were showing arcs of electrical explosion. I was a union official. I'm too advanced for the class, you know, as you can see, you know, so everything. So the instructor, he spins off of me. We have to get these guys. They're all just sitting there. And I got guys from Nigeria, never worked in construction. I show pictures on my phone. I said, but my man, do you know what the hell he just said? I said, because, and then I told the Spanish guy, I said, working compensation and disability, it ain't worth it. Now, for some guys that come from countries, if they go away, they leave out of here with $20,000 because they got hurt or something like that. They're rich over there. It's not physically worth it.
Yeah, because sometimes I've had a situation like that where I just look at guys and I'm like, yeah, we can treat you medically, but if your goal is to pursue workers' comp, because one.
So you're basically trying, you don't want any, if you're in a position to, it's a soft injury, it'll take 2 weeks for your arm to get back, or cobble tunnel, or whatever the case may be, you can mend them, with your policies and procedures and getting back better, you can get them back to work.
Yeah, one of the major things for the owners and major contractors is the fact that we're mitigating the situation to where it doesn't exacerbated to something bigger.
Where it becomes a workman complication.
If it needs to be, it's
well, it is what it is. It is what
but
it is.
if it's something where, let's say, a guy gets injured Monday and Tuesday, he's talking about, my leg's broken. It's like,
we already know the bullshit.
Yeah, I evaluate
it. Yeah, he hit with a little freaking pebble.
Yeah, he
goes to the hospital and himself and comes back.
So with me on site,
with a freaking thing around his neck, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, like with me on site, I could evaluate it, report it.
Right.
If need be, even take photos. Like this is.
This is a great idea.
So that you're never gonna come back on Friday saying
some bullshit.
My spine is broken.
Right.
Now a nail fell on your head.
You know what happened to me? I heard through the insurance, one of my guys. I had 11 guys. We would work it here, there. On the way to work, I get a letter from the workman compensation. I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't put in a C-224 or nothing like that. What is it, a WC? I think it's, what is it, a C-220?
That form, that number, I'm not too sure.
I think it's a W, well, it's a C-224.
Okay.
So,
it's for you.
Yeah, it's coming to me. I said, yo, Isaac, we need to fucking talk. When did you get hurt? Oh, yo, Reg, remember that time I was coming to work, I got shot in my hand? I said, what? You didn't get fucking hurt on my job. Well, guess what? They're covered from the time they leave their home to they get to work.
So one of the key things we try to stress here is that any injuries has to be reported to me. So even if something like that were to happen
on your way to work,
you should come here and report it first and say, let me know what you
want. Well, but what worked out with that is I wasn't liable for that.
Yeah.
You know, so whatever he did.
So that's one of the key parts of the tool to mitigate the liability of the owners and the contractors. To say that we evaluated, we saw what we have, this is what we're looking at. And this is what presented. And we have some guys last year, a gentleman, he felt his back was hurt. He said it happened days ago.
He should have said something.
Yeah. No, this guy actually, he said it happened a month ago. But what was happening is that the contract was done with their aspect, part of it. So that tends to happen too. When guys know it's closing out, then, you know, let's. I guess
that's some horse shit, right?
Go out with a
fire. I don't advise anybody to pull that shit. You can get in trouble for that too.
Yeah, right? It's falsifying. It's a whole question.
Man, I really thank you. I mean, so now you came from the metal, you was EMS, fire department. I painted a couple of firehouses.
Nice.
Actually, where I'm doing a safety class, they got the fire department as their building maintenance trucks. They're the red ones.
Okay.
That's in Long Island City on 35th Street.
Yeah.
I got off at 33rd, and then I walked. Some odd reason.
The cemetery.
Yes, for some odd reason, I walked the opposite way. I went up 32nd Street, but I come down 35th, and that's
right,
there.
Like,
yeah. So you come with that experience. So that was a no-brainer. They didn't have to be trained. So you don't have to be a doctor. You're not a doctor.
No. You're just, that would cost way too much.
Well, hey. And then your wife put it straight. How many kids you got? Two?
Two.
And you don't want to travel far out no more?
No, because, you know, it's kind of like...
You need to stay within the territory where you
my son is a teenager in high school.
You got to watch him.
It's like one of the critical moments.
Exactly right now. My son is going to high school, and this is one of the most... From 10 to 16, we could lose him.
Yeah, and right now, actually, after...
Is he giving you a little hard time?
No, he's actually...
I'll keep an eye on his ass.
He's actually a prep school kid on
the nice. Look at that money you've been spending in that school, man.
And actually, tonight, we're actually heading to a college expo at his school.
So he's graduating high school?
Well, he's a junior now.
Right, so they started preparing him.
Yeah, we're going
to look at college. What school did your son go to?
St. Francis.
Okay, because I want my son to go to a high school.
St. Francis.
This is the, I'll call them back because I'm getting my health care. St. Francis Prep is where at? It's,
Off Horace Harding.
Oh, Bronx. I know where that's at.
Queens.
Queens? Oh, yeah, yes.
It's a real property.
That's a real bougie school, bro.
Yeah.
Are you paying for that? Is that DOE? No.
That was the goal. Yeah, we're working it out. We're figuring it out.
You know they got grant stuff for that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we did. We tried and everything. That's what we're trying to like really get on top of for his college career, to really fill out scholarships, grants as he possibly.
Exactly.
Because he's such an excellent student. He
deserves it.
One of the things that we're kind of happy about, like.
I'm going to talk to him. You met Mr. Spann? I didn't mean to cut you off. You met Lewis?
No.
He's the owner's rep. He knows a lot of people. He has a program. He wanted my son to get it. I'll find out what it
was. Okay, cool. Yeah, with his grades, one of the good things that we're confident and happy about is the fact that there's no requirement that he doesn't fulfill.
He's got
like
everything.
He's been on the honor roll since like the fifth grade.
My son was on the honor roll too.
Yeah. So
and this school here, yeah, I wasn't happy. He wound up getting a little girlfriend. We drift off of topic a little bit because that's family. That's what we do. And we're talking about children. So yeah, he's moving on to high school. And you know he's my only boy, and this he will be here. I'm gonna try to, you know, a lot of young kids that want to work in construction for summer in the safety class. There's two young white gentlemen, children. They're 19 or 18. Their father is project manager, so they sending them to the safety classes.
Yeah,
so they can work the summer. You. So with your Mac, is there anything else that people would think that you would think the audience would know? Because I think I'm gonna mention this to some GCs because. To have somebody like you on a job for these little, because I swear to God, I get my first day kid, somebody, one day, this is full disclosure, I thought we gave him the disinfectant, but it was the burn ointment.
Oh, wow.
See, you know what I'm saying?
The burn gel.
You know about the burn gel, right? So, and then we bought a first aid kit where you open it up and it has all these, it opens up in a plastic and it has in it.
Oh, yeah, I've seen it.
I got that one and then I have the other ones. And I really don't know. I don't want to administer any care to someone.
Yeah.
Hey, yo, my man, you got a headache? There's some aspirin.
What?
What are the things that we should have in a first aid kit? Basic, you know.
With the first aid kit, I think some of the things, being that my scope is a little bit broader than the first
aid kit. You're almost like a You're a construction doctor.
It's basically like having an ambulance here.
Right.
For the most part. The key things, bandages, I would say controlled bleeding bandages in terms of 4x4s.
I have 4x4s. I have the white tape, the yellow tape.
Something like this. And these are green.
Oh, yeah. What are those for? We have those.
To wrap the injuries that you may sustain. So let's say you have a major bleed. We put gauze on it.
And then you will wrap it with that?
Yeah.
You know, we use that to put around the knees when you play basketball.
Oh, yeah, that's
really?
True. Like, I've actually wrapped it around my ankles because I'm a runner. So I've had it also.
But what does that do? Is that compress what?
It's just the positioning of it.
Really? Oh, so it keeps it in its position?
It helps to an extent. It depends on what we put around it. And it helps to cover the
You should teach a class, man. Have your podcast, man. No, because you know what? I've had boneheads working. You know, we've got the brothers from the neighborhood trying to get them into the construction. Yo, my man, you came here with that shit. You know, no, I'm going to bullshit at me.
Yeah.
Or, yo, Raj, man, I heard my arm. How'd you fucking said, "Yo, Rev, I told you I fucked it up." I said, "And I heard what you said. How did you do it? What? Because I need to know." And he said, "You got to rap." And even this rap is here, you go back to work.
Yeah, it helps. Especially if you use certain things. Bandages, I'd say key components, bandages.
Ointment for the clean and an alcohol pad.
Alcohol pads are great.
I have alcohol pad. What about the eye? What do you think that the eye drip that comes in a first aid, what the hell is that? Can you use water?
Yeah, I feel like the eyes, for me, it's always been a major thing. I've actually preferred, I have two ways of dealing with the eyes. I prefer like an actual flush machine on site.
Right, I use that.
But what's helped me?
Chris?
Okay,
what's up, Jeff?
What's helped me in the past is actually eye patches.
What do you mean eye patch? Like a like
it's a stick-on eye patch.
Is it? So wait a minute. If you first you flush the eye.
Yeah. What happens sometimes is that if you put the patch on it, the natural fluid that's in your eye
will surface.
It'll surface.
Really?
Like that. Because sometimes you could flush.
Somebody banged something. I looked up and all that dust.
Yeah, I've had a patient.
That's what happens when you have the goggles on, either. You know.
I've had a patient where his issue in his eye, surprisingly, that it really required a dye to be placed to actually locate.
Really?
Because
that's interesting to find that little.
Yeah, because sometimes it's not coming out. Sometimes it gets embedded into the eye.
Right in this cap here. That you know,
or the pupil itself.
And you know, I spray, right? When I'm spraying, they call me Casper. Even though I have, sometimes I wear a full face. And then I'll have the goggles. And for some odd reason, every spray, every painted, it finds its way in. And then I'm watching it. I'll show you some pictures. You know, my respirator's tight. I use 3M stuff. I don't buy cheap shit. And, I'm so fascinated about this. This part of the podcast, I'll give you the show. But I'm going to ask them today, because this is a new thing.
It's growing as time goes by, when people hear about it. But I think some projects actually have to have it. So it's been pretty cool that when you have to have it, you have it. But it's pretty beneficial. I like it.
But as far as the medical side, you have to have some type of basic medical training.
Yeah, like I'm certified by New York State.
Right, that's what I mean, really. And because it's like when you go to the doctor's office, you don't really get a doctor. You get a PA, whatever the hell they call it. What's a PA? A PA is
a physician's assistant.
Right, and then they take the place of the doctor. They bill you the same goddamn money.
Yeah.
And that's what I'd be arguing about.
A lot of hospitals,
but I do have the right to ask for a physician if I'm going to pay for that.
A lot of hospitals have that. With the PA, he's actually working under the physician. He's just immediately under the physician. The only difference is that he can't really write the prescription himself. He can evaluate you the same way the doctor would. But when it comes to actually making a decision of what you're getting medicated for, or what's the route, then
that would be for the doctor.
Yeah.
And you got a medical center right next door.
Yeah.
Would you ever use them though? Right?
No, because we vet. Our company vets a certain
the locations of where y'all want to go.
Yeah, and they'll probably have more because they're set for emergencies.
Really?
So it's pretty cool. We had some injuries so far.
Well, I gotta say, I did see this on the I'm a scuba diver. I'm on the boat. What do you call those guys that ride in the boat? And the helicopter guys.
Okay.
Yeah, but they're first. Rescue guys, it's the first time I've been seeing this. Well, thank you, man. What's your name?
Jefferson.
Mr. Sweet, right? I hope that for every newcomer, you do the orientation.
Yeah,
let me start getting my ass and shit. So you all required the red vest?
For the most part, with this company, yeah.
Well, everybody, you guys have learned something. I have learned something. I have never seen this. And I am so grateful that you're here. Facts, the Porcupine Podcast. Yeah. So, moving forward in construction, the screws are being tight. We don't want anybody getting hurt. You are responsible. Once you take a safety class, you should not be getting, certain injuries. This don't happen when you are being careful. Without all of that, knowledge and understanding the basics,
You can really see it. Another podcast of the Porcupine. That was interesting. I was grateful to know that there is a medic on the job, and it takes away a lot of responsibility. Those soft tissue injuries, you know, because anytime somebody gets hurt, you gotta report it. And a lot of people don't want to report it, and they think that they're undocumented, that they can get away with not taking care of these guys. So on behalf of the Facts and the Porcupine Podcast, we hope you enjoy this conversation. Coming to New York City, you want to work in the city, you want to work basically anywhere in the United States. There's a federal law for New York City, the Department of Buildings, that govern it, that is responsible for all construction, building related, property, commercial, you name it. Screws have been tightened. There was an indictment. There was somebody that, there's a few people going to jail. They started locking up a lot of contractors. Then you had another indictment for big rigging. You know, yeah, you had big rigging, giving out unauthorized contracts. They got caught. Then you got an organization that started, was supposed to train these people. They got caught. So make sure you don't get caught. On behalf of the Facts and the Porcupine Podcast, construction. Stay safe, stay alert. And when you're walking past a construction job, especially when it's windy, keep your damn head up. Don't fool around. Do not walk on plywood on a job. If it's bolted, if it looks like it was put there to protect or to close a hole, don't walk on top. Stay well. Stay safe.
It's another podcast of the Porcupine and Facts Experience. Welcome. I'm going to go to the next one.